Good morning, Main Place Christian Fellowship. We are so glad to have you here. And by golly, I've been waiting to say this for a long time. We made it through 2020. Now, that deserves some clapping. That deserves a hallelujah. My goodness. My goodness. How faithful is our God. Amen. We're going to get started here, so if you'd join me in praising the Lord, if you'd stand with me if you feel so inclined to, certainly you don't have to. We'd like to welcome you. If you're with us online this morning, just want to say welcome. Just want to say good morning, or maybe it's good afternoon for you. Maybe it's good evening. Whenever you could be watching this, we just want to say welcome. We're glad to have you. Join us in a word of prayer as we begin today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful, Lord, for your promise. When you ascended on high, Lord God, the last thing you said on this earth was, I'll always be with you to the very end of the age, Lord. You said that to us, that amazing, amazing promise. And although you were gone from us visibly, Lord God, your spirit descended upon all of us that believe. And that promise is true to us, Lord God, to the end of time and even beyond that, Lord God, when we get to be with you forever in heaven, we will be with you. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. This morning, we want to praise you in song. We want to praise you, Lord God, as we hear your word and just rejoice in our heart as we hear, Lord God, what you've promised us, the things that you've recorded for us to read and be blessed by. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do here. We pray you'd open up our hearts and our minds to receive you and what you have to say. We thank you for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you.
I was breathing,
but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. Has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old may knew Jesus when I met you.
That he called your name specifically, individually. He thought of you, and he thought of me. Let's sing this together, church. I needed rescue.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. needed shelter. I was an orphan. You call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air I breathe. And I have a future. My eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, shout it around out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Can I hear you say hallelujah? Amen. It is such a glorious day. Praise God that we're here and that we get to praise God. We get to praise God. We get to enter into the holiest of holies, that which was forbidden but for one man to do, the high priest at the time. But because Jesus came and he is now our high priest, we get to dwell in that holy of holies whenever we feel like it. Whenever we pray, whenever we say, Jesus, whenever we call out to him, we're there.
Consume.
Grateful for all that you do in our lives, even though sometimes it doesn't feel right. But we know it is right because you are right in all the things that you do, and we're grateful that we can be called your children. We pray it today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Hands are necessary. If you pay attention today, there are a lot of twos, starting with two girls who will help us rethink two thoughts. There'll be two ways, two fruits, and two ends, but only one pair of hands are necessary.
One pair of hands for the mountains, one pair of hands for the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands form the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging sea. A thousand people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong when life goes wrong. Put your faith into one pair of
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
There, I've said it. Happy New Year. But I don't know if this year is going to be happy or not. I just don't know. But I do know that this world is not the happiest place on earth. Someone wished me happy holidays a week or so ago, just before my son's family came down with COVID and Christmas was canceled for us. Happy holidays. Then Michelle Mahoney was kicked in the face by her horse, fracturing her skull and damaging her eye. She's still struggling in recovery. Happy holidays. Then Bob Bianchi lost his battle with cancer, went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day. Happy holidays. Next was Ruby Pinner. She didn't come to church last Sunday. At least not here. God took her home too. Happy holidays. And if that wasn't enough, Robert Ramos was hospitalized with pneumonia, gallbladder issues, and remains in ICU. Happy holidays. In other words, this is not the happiest place on earth. That can only be found at Disneyland. And that place is a fantasy land. Now, some people live there, but most of us couldn't handle 365 days of happy. Although we say we could, and one day we will, but not today. I kind of think that 365 days of happy would be like being tickled to death. Sounds like fun, but in reality, it's torture. So today, we're going to rethink what it will make to take us being happy in the midst of suffering and evil. Now, I don't have to tell you that 2020 was not a happy year here in America. For years, the United States has been known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. But 2020 was our fear year. not free, and not brave. In 2020, we stayed home and listened to our governors and not to our God. Amen. Sad to say, that includes Christians as well as non-Christians. Now, hopefully today at home or in person here, you'll pay close attention to what God has to say to you so that we can rethink how to restart in 2021. Now, I know both Bob Bianchi and Ruby Penner are in heaven with a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which entangles us, and to rethink our fear year by casting out fear with the perfect love of Christ. Now, without them, we are crippled, but we'll continue to fight the good fight. For me in 2021, I don't fear the COVID, but I'm afraid for our country and for its churches. Here's why. I believe our country's fear grew to an all-time high just before Christmas. Just before Christmas, with another airline disaster. A United Airlines flight from Denver, Colorado to Newark, New Jersey crashed before it ever left the gate. There is a viral video from inside the airplane where a 2-year-old little girl wouldn't wear a mask. She wouldn't wear a mask even though her parents and other siblings were in mask compliance. The terrible 2-year-old said, "No way, no way." She wasn't going to wear a mask that covered her face and hindered her breathing. Even though, like I said, the rest of her family was in complete compliance, and they tried to get that little girl to wear her mask, but it just wasn't going to happen. And then the United Airlines flight crew exercised its jettison power and kicked the entire family off the plane. And then the entire ground crew, probably none of which have ever had a child, sent the family's luggage and the 2-year-old stroller on to New Jersey. Brilliant thinking and terrible customer service. Why didn't the other passengers come to their rescue? Were there no Christians on board? Or was everyone afraid? Was everyone afraid for themselves, believers and non-believers? Now, I think United Airlines needs to rethink its decision or just be grounded, if not quarantined. I mean, because they tested positive for stupid better than anybody ever could. I mean, this is an embarrassment. This is an embarrassment like this country has never seen before. With socialism, Russia, China, and Iran threatening this country, we have now become afraid and fear 2-year-olds. Folks, we're in trouble. We're in trouble because when you're scared, you're not free. And when you're not free, it's almost impossible to be brave. I think America's original freedom fighters are now rolling over in their graves, questioning our thinking, wanting us to rethink for 2021 with a new year, a new president, a new Supreme Court, and a new vaccine. Out with the old and in with the new. Amen. New mercies. It's going to be a better year. Do you believe that? It's the key to a happy new year. You believing better than you did last year will make you a better Christian this year. So, two thoughts in 2021. Do I make a New Year's resolution or do I make a New Year's revelation? Do I make a New Year's resolution or do I make a New Year's revelation? So that we're thinking on the same page, resolutions, that kind of thinking is self-imposed. It's self-willed. and its self-propelled kind of ideas that do not include the power of God. Revelations are God-given prophecies, and included is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So now I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, Mark Warner is going to read aloud from the New American Standard Translation of the Bible, starting in the first verse through the sixth verse. You read silently in whatever translation of the Bible you might have with you today. Let's all stand out of respect for the reading of God's Word as Mark reads aloud from Psalm chapter 1, the first six verses.
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Amen. Join me in prayer. Father, your word never comes back void. I pray that we'd take it today, we'd meditate on it, and then we'd sink it deep into our hearts so that we'll not sin against you, but we'll rejoice in you. We pray this today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open to that passage as well as follow along the outline on the screens today. We're going to watch another video. We're going to watch another video that should go viral because it has the power of God unto salvation written all over it. And so now I want you to listen to another little girl.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jenison, and I have an important message for you today. During this time of pandemic, many are suffering. Some have lost jobs. Others are going hungry. Many people are stressed. And many are wondering what is going to happen next. I want to tell you today, you don't need to be stressed. Because the Bible says God can give us perfect peace if we keep our mind on Him. Isaiah 26, verse 3. We don't need to be stressed out because this just tells us that Jesus is coming very soon and He's going to take us home to heaven where there'll be no more pain, no more hunger, no more tears, no more stress, no more pandemic. We'll all be happy and healthy there. God will change us, and God will create a new world. Do you believe it? You have to have faith to see it. Faith in God's Bible. That's where it tells us all this good news. So don't let this pandemic make you forget about Jesus and lose sight of Him. Instead, let it bring you closer to Him. Read your Bible more. Pray more. We can have confidence in the Bible. Cling to God's promises. The Bible says in Psalms 91 verses 6 and 7 that when the pestilence come and 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 shall fall at thy right hand, it won't come near you. Isn't God's promises sweet? That's a promise for our time. And if God promised it, I have faith that He will do it. He never breaks His promises because He's God, and God never let us down. So today, I want to remind you that Jesus is coming very, very soon. Yes, very soon, and we must be ready. Ready to meet Him. Ready at His second coming. Ready today. But how? The Bible says in Matthew 24:42, therefore, keep watch, because we don't know on what day your Lord will come. We must watch. Watch for the signs, like this pestilence. Yes, this pandemic. He's a sign. Yes, a sign to get ready. So if you have been watching, then you realize that Jesus is telling us to get ready because he is coming soon, then we must build our faith. Because the Bible says that faith is the victory. 1 John 5:4, and we are saved by grace. True faith, Ephesians 2:8. How do we build our faith? We must spend time in the Bible, Romans 10:17. Since we have been locked down, we've been staying home a lot. But because of that, I read my Bible more. One chapter a day keeps the devil away. Why don't you read with me today? Let's build our faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by word of God. Let's do it every day so we can be ready for Jesus today, and we don't need to be afraid. This is the peace that we can have that rides above the storm. God bless you. Thank you.
Two little girls. This little girl has given us a God-given New Year's revelation. Included is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Believing Jesus is Lord and Savior. Believing God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for our sins. Yet he had no sins himself. Shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins on the cross, he died and was buried but rose from the grave, defeating death so that you could have life. Hopefully, you will make this your New Year's revelation. But it's now January 3rd. January 3rd, and people all over the world have made their 2021 New Year's resolutions. And if the truth were to be told, they're a lot like their 2020 resolutions. Spend more time with family, lose some weight, stop smoking, save money, be a better parent or a spouse. Now, not only are those resolutions the same as 2020, they're the same as 2019. They're the same as 2018. They're the same as 2017. They're the same as 2016. And they're the same resolutions because each one has had the same result: failure. And they will fail again this year because resolutions are self-imposed, self-willed, and self-propelled ideas that do not have the power of God. So there needs to be no other New Year's resolutions. But that New Year's revelation is what we all need, and we need not keep it secret because it will not fail. And because it will not fail, we know that the truth will set us free, for it is the power unto salvation for everyone who believes. And you better believe it. Amen. You better believe it, because that revelation is God's plan and purpose for your life in 2021. Listen to verses 1 and 2 closely one more time.
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night.
There are two ways to look at 2021. The two ways are godly or ungodly, believing or not believing. One is the practice of a blessed man, the other the practice of an unhappy man. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. That person that does these things is not a happy person. And that's the reason so many people are unhappy today. They associate with, sometimes marry, and often partner with the ungodly. If not marry, often move in with sinners, and then go along with the advice of the scornful. This is the thinking that must be all there is to life. And because of that kind of thinking, they regress. And they deteriorate, and they degenerate. The happy man doesn't do that. He prospers. One's right, and the other's wrong. Proverbs 14:12 says, what seems right to sinners ends up in the way of death, which means they have fallen short of heaven. Some would say they miss that mark. Let me say it politely. The sinner may think he's right, but he's a sinner. And sinner never makes the mark. Instead, it leaves a mark. From standing in the way of sinners to sitting in the seat of the scornful. Scorners, so that you know, are atheists. An atheist not only denies God, he hates God. A scorner doesn't want to hear the word of God proclaimed. He doesn't want to see it carried or have it believed. The scorner completely denies God. And there is nothing lower on earth than to deny God. God says so himself in Proverbs 3:34, saying, "Surely God will scorn the scorners, but he gives grace to the lowly." That's not a pretty picture if you're a scorner. So verse 1 that Mark read to you is what a happy man does. Verse 2 it doesn't do, excuse me. And verse 2 is what he does do. Key word, he delights. The happy man delights in the word of God. Remember the story of that demon-possessed man? And the demon left him. And so that guy cleaned up his act a little bit and thought he was all right. But without repentance, the demon still owned him. And because he still owned him, he came back with his friends, seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And so the demon-possessed man goes from bad to worse in 0 to 7 spirits. It's too bad, but most people think if they just clean up their lives a little bit, that's good enough. Well, it's not enough. It's not enough. Until a person delights in the law of the Lord, like Ruby Penner did, learning the word through our college, she applied that word and delighted in serving. Amen. I don't just say it for you to hear it. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. I've been preaching now for some 41 odd years. First to drunk Indians at the Gospel Lighthouse Mission in Phoenix, Arizona. Then to non-English speakers in Mexico, to passers-by and prisoners. I preached on street corners and in megachurches, online, on TV, on the radio, in churches and in clubs, at conventions, on yachts, in funeral homes and dog kennels, overseas in villages and Beverly Hills mansions. Now, these people were not always a delight to preach to. But it was always a delight to see how the Word of God can change a person from the inside out, just like we sung a minute or so ago. Happy is the man who delights in the Lord, and so is his pastor. So, who are the ungodly? Well, they're people without God. They're people without God because they leave him out. They don't fear God. Although they say they believe in him, they live as though he doesn't exist. So as they go about their business, God isn't a part of their business. As a matter of fact, when asked, they will say it's none of his business. But they're constantly saying, "Oh my God, OMG, I don't get it." It drives me almost as nuts as when we say, "God bless you," when someone sneezes. I don't get it. Taking counsel from the ungodly can sound good. It can sound good, so oftentimes we follow it instead of following Jesus. And then we find ourselves walking with the wicked in the ways of sinners and sitting with scorners. In those 41 years of preaching, I've ministered to tears and terrors, to sighs and sorrows, to moans and groans, to heartache and heartbreaks, to broken homes and broken promises. And they can all be tracked back to God's broken laws. Every one of them. God makes it clear. if we love him, I mean, if we really love God, we will keep his commandments. And soon his commandments will not be burdens, but they'll become blessings in our lives. Amen. But we seem to think if we get saved, we're safe to do as we please. And that isn't even close to what this says. You're not saved by keeping God's commandments, nor is it safe to break them. When we come to God, we're saved by faith in him. And then we're to be known for love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Not only does a happy man delight in being the fruit of the Spirit, he delights in the full counsel of God, which is your entire Bible, the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, because that person meditates on it. That's what Bob Bianchi did. He did that a lot. Meditation is more than an East Indian guru sitting cross-legged on a mountaintop humming, om. A farmer friend of mine explained it this way. He said, Rich, picture a cow chewing his cud. Well, I could picture a cow chewing, but what's cud? He said, cud is upchuck. He said a cow has seven stomachs. After he swallows his food, he begins to digest it from stomach to stomach. But some food is upchucked back into the cow's mouth to be rechewed, making it easier to digest. Bob did a lot of that. He did a lot of that. As we rethink the two ways to restart in 2021, as best I can tell, God has no plan or program by which he grows, matures, and develops a believer except by the Word of God. Amen. That's the only way. Sometimes it's not easy to swallow. You must meditate on it. You must meditate on it. You can be as busy as a termite in church. You really can. And possibly have the same effect as a termite. But you do not grow in your faith by activity. You grow by delighting in the Word of God and by meditating on it, digesting it until it sinks deep into your heart so you'll not sin against God, but you'll serve him. And others will see that he is the only way. That's what a happy man does. And that's what Ruby Penner did. Next on your 2020 outline to rethink are two fruits. Two fruits. One is permanent and the other is perishable. Listen to verses 3 and 4.
He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away.
Those two verses tell us a happy man is like a tree planted by rivers of water. Water is a tree's lifeline. Living water, the Word of God, is your lifeline. Amen. Isaiah calls them trees of righteousness. Proverbs 11:30 tells us the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And that tree is wise, and that tree wins souls. It's the picture of a Christian. Wise, strong, healthy, and fruitful, which means you're winning souls to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, if you look closely, you will leave. You will leave, and your testimony will wither away. One fruit is permanent, the other fruit is perishable. Now it's the pastor's job to equip you for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, it says. He does that by preaching. He does that by preaching the Word of God in and out of season. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his heart. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, preachers have a lot to do with a lot of different people. A lot to do with a lot of different people in their lifetimes. Christians need to learn how to say, I do. I do. Both Bob and Ruby were doers of the word. One was seniors, the other was security. Back when Main Place Christian Fellowship was located on Red Hill in Tustin, a lawyer started attending our church. After he'd been there a couple of years, I'm not sure, he came up to me after church on a Sunday morning and said, "When I first started attending here at Main Place, Pastor Rich, your sermons made me very, very uncomfortable. So uncomfortable, I was so disturbed that I couldn't sleep some Sunday nights." But then he said, "Now they don't bother me at all. I sleep like a baby." We both chuckled as he walked away, but I thought to myself, one or both of us is in trouble. One of us or both of us are in trouble. Either my messages have turned to mush, or his heart has gotten so hard that the word just bounces off of it. I don't know which, but I do know I needed to restart with him. Now, if God's word is shared purposely, it won't come back void. It will bring prosperity. Unethical preachers misuse these verses to ensure their prosperity, when in fact, they should be concerned with your prosperity. But that prosperity is not found in a 401k. It's found in your spiritual health. Your health is determined by your desire to win souls. Your desire to win souls is measured by your faith. And your faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, most Christians hear a sermon, but they really don't listen to it. They really don't listen to it well enough that it increases their faith and a desire to win souls, because they have no intention of applying it when they came in the door any more than when they went out the door. It's like it perishes before they even get their Bibles home. Now, Main Place has never been a church to be a part of the herd. It's a church that wants to be heard, wants to be heard telling the truth. So listen to this. Number three on your New Year's Rethink to Restart 2021, there are two ends, heaven and hell, one or the other. Listen to verses 5 and 6.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
The wicked will perish in hell, and the righteous will find eternal happiness in heaven. It does not matter if you're Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, blue collar, white collar, ditch digger, gold digger, right wing, left wing, straight, gay, Catholic, or Baptist. In the end, it's either heaven or hell. Amen. There is no in between. There is no alternative. There is no abyss. You're either loving God or you're hating God. One goes to heaven, the other goes to hell. Jesus said that when it comes to his followers, hunger, weeping, and being hated or just insulted, they should still rejoice. They should still rejoice. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. Amen. But he went on and added in verses 24 and 25, "Woe to you who are rich now, for you've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and you will weep in hell." Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell is God's solution to a problem. And that problem is for the righteous suffering now. We wonder why we have to suffer now. Or for the wicked prospering now. Well, the righteous prosper in heaven, and the wicked suffer in hell. It's a reverse, actually a double reverse. It's heaven or hell in the end. Paul wrote, "I don't consider our present suffering worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in heaven." And that's the joy of heaven compared to the junk here on earth. If you've said it, you are right. Life is not fair. It is not fair. Somebody's always raining on your parade, and it seems like they're the only ones with umbrellas. They don't deserve it, but they have them. But this is not all there is to life. Christians don't just go around once. There's no need for us to grab all we can. All that does is create a probate problem for the next generation. Believers go from this old earth to the new earth forever, where you have need of nothing. So the only way for us to win over evil and suffering is to live forever in a place where those two things don't exist, and that's heaven. On the other side of heaven, if you read your Bibles, it's just a side, where there'll be nothing but evil and suffering. So for believers, evil and suffering are just temporary hardships and injustices that will seem like nothing when you get to heaven. Because it's there, and only there, that we will live happily ever after with Bob and Ruby. Because heaven will fulfill our greatest dreams and surpass our highest expectations. You will be fully satisfied. And yes, that's old time religion.
I've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. That is why I'm satisfied. Well, you may ask me if I'm happy, if I have sweet peace within, if I'm worried about tomorrow when I reach my journey's end. Well, I'm satisfied with my Jesus, and when he knocks, I'm gonna let him in. And he'll go with me through the valley, for I know he is my friend. Oh, satisfied, satisfied. No trouble can never get me down. When my eyes are closed in death, with my Jesus will be at rest. You know I'm satisfied, 'cause I got that old time religion. I got that old time religion. That is why I'm satisfied. If my friends, they all forsake me, and they turn me from their door, if they sow no seeds of kindness, make the thorns in my path grow, well, it won't matter over yonder when I reach the other side. Well, I'm gonna sit down with my Jesus, satisfied. I'm satisfied, oh, satisfied, yes, satisfied. No trouble can ever get me down. When my eyes are closed in death, with my Jesus, I'm gonna be at rest. And you know I'm satisfied, oh, satisfied, I'm satisfied. Well, no trouble can ever get me down. When my eyes are closed in death, with my Jesus, I'll be at rest. You know I'm satisfied. Got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion. That is why I'm satisfied. Yes, that is why I'm satisfied.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. Bob and Ruby are completely satisfied. Bob carried a big stick. Ruby had a big heart. Together, it's a big loss for Main Place Christian Fellowship. But for those two, to die was a big gain. A big gain. Because now they're held in heaven by one pair of hands. It required two thoughts, a resolution and a revelation. Two ways, be a believer or a non-believer. Two fruits, permanent or perishable. Two ends, heaven or hell. But there are still two others. There are still two others. Michelle, kicked in the head by a horse with a fractured skull, unable to see out of at least one eye, and Robert in intensive care. We need to pray for them. Amen. And so I'm going to ask Pastor Don to lead us all in prayer for Michelle and Robert.
Father, we come to you because we know that you have the answers to every question, every trouble, every problem. Everything in our life that tends to trip us up, surprise us, and turn us sideways when we're trying to go straight. Things happen down here, Father, because we live in a world where you promised us. It wasn't a good promise, but you said you can be sure you'll have trouble down here. You'll have trouble in all kinds of different ways. And so we come to the one who made heaven and earth. The one who's responsible for everything that we see that exists, that ever has existed. We come to the one to whom we're accountable. And we know, Father, that you have the answers. So we lift up these precious ones before us that have gone into some type of illness or injury. And there's so many more. But we use these two as points of contact, that we'd ask you to bring healing, to increase faith, to pour out your spirit in these situations, that as we go through these things, we'll be able to look at people around us, especially if we're the one going through it, and be able to say, I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I mean, I look it right now physically, but deep inside, I'm strong in the Lord. We pray that is what will be the portion for our two that we're praying for right now. And we ask you, oh God, that you will just bring healing and pour out your blessing of faith and an assurance and a confidence that all leads to contentment and satisfaction. Because in Christ, we are new creations. And as a new creation, we don't rely on the flesh as much as we used to. We know we still live in it, but we don't rely on it like we used to. Now we can look and say, like Pastor Ritz said, this stuff we're going through now is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. So we pray that'll be our portion, and we ask you to bring healing to all those around and about us, in our families, our friends, at work, in our church, who need healing right now of one type of thing or another. We give you glory for it because you know you're the one that can bring the healing. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bob Bianchi went home to be with the Lord on Christmas Day. Pastor Martin and Chase did his memorial service on Thursday of this past week. And I asked Pastor Martin, since I was out of town, how it went. And he said, we gave him the gospel. Amen. And that's what Bob would want them to have heard. Ruby has left instructions that she be cremated and her ashes sent to Kansas. Her sister from Oregon will be here tomorrow, and we're going to just rally around her in every way we possibly can to make this transition a little bit easier for her. What What I'm asking all of you to do is join me in the community room, get a cup of coffee, use the restroom, whatever, and join me in there and take a seat, because we're going to do something a little bit different for Ruby's family than what we have done in the past, just because we don't know if there'll be more of a service than what we just had here today. But we're going to bring some joy, that's my plan, to her sisters and to her sister-in-law. And so if you'd be so kind as to fill out your prayer request while you're sitting where you are, your offering envelopes, if you want to give to the ministry, can be dropped in a basket before you get out the front door. And then for those of you online, if you would send us in your prayer requests, and if you want to give online, you can do that as well as we adjourn to go and just talk a little bit more about Ruby and Bob. Let's all stand together. Father, we never know. We never know what tomorrow's going to bring, because tomorrow isn't ours. And yesterday's gone. All we have is today. And we need to live out this day in such a way that it brings honor and glory to you. And so I pray today would be different than yesterday, and tomorrow to be better than it was today. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be sure and tell someone you love them. We'll meet you in the community room shortly.
One pair of hands for the mountain. One pair of hands for the sea.
Send Mark my way.
One pair of hands, may the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower and tree. One pair of hands form the valleys, the oceans, the rivers, the sand. And those hands are so strong. So when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands.